Raycon's newest wireless earbuds, the Everyday E25s, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, and a noise-isolating fit that really allows you to focus on what you're listening to. Get 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds at buyraycon.com/Howie. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Adam Schiff is out and about this weekend on Sunday morning shows saying all of this news is just Russian disinformation.
Well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now that they've been pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son.
You know, I wasn't going to say this at all, but I can't help it. There you go again.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You are the director of national intelligence. Is this Russian disinformation, director?
It's funny that some of the people that complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing intelligence. It is Adam Schiff who said that the intelligence community believes Hunter Biden's laptop and the emails on it are part of some Russian disinformation campaign. Let me be clear. The intelligence community doesn't believe that because there's no intelligence that supports that.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We're just scratching the surface. And yes, I've heard all kinds of things that I think will probably be revealed over the next few days. There's a treasure trove of emails and video and pictures in not only the purported computer of Hunter Biden, but now we've got the co-conspirator. I guess we're probably going to just find new, more information every day over the next couple weeks.
Mr. Biden, what is your response to the New York Post story about your son, sir?
I know you'd ask it. I have no response.
He will not be seen again after today until Thursday night in Nashville at that next debate. This week is mostly about debate prep.
Right.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
Well, come on, man. The American people deserve a straight answer, Joe.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. A lot of news today, as always, as we come down to the end of the presidential campaign. A legal correspondent for CNN has been suspended today, Jeffrey Toobin, the rabidly anti-Trump Harvard rump swab apparently was on a Zoom call last week and he exposed himself.
Giggity, 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 goo. Giggity, 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 goo.
He thought the camera was muted. I don't know. But he's gone. The Trump campaign has written to the Commission on Presidential Debates saying, I thought this was supposed to be a foreign policy debate. They didn't think that they were going to have to go over the same Chris Wallace, when did you stop beating your wife questions for Donald Trump, fighting
climate
COVID.
Climate change.
Yeah. Climate change does not show up, I don't think, on the top 20 issues. Whenever they do a poll, any kind of poll of the American people, what are the top issues? It's climate change is not there because people have figured it out. I saw a poll today. COVID is down to like number 4 or 5. COVID-19 is just another form of climate change. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's experts calling the shots and predicting the imminent end of the world, basically. The problem with COVID-19, though, is that they don't have a century-long timetable to say, you know, if you don't do this, the Miami will be underwater, Manhattan will be underwater by 2100. You think, who's going to be around in 2100? COVID-19, they predicted, you know, imminent death. 2 million were supposed to be dead by now. It's not that. We don't even know if it's really 200,000. So the Trump people want to get this back to discuss international issues. They say the Mideast, but it also, of course, would involve all these emails that are now coming out. But joining me now, she's back in Boston for the week, is Grace Curley.
And actually, Howie, I want to discuss exactly what you're talking about. So it's a perfect segue. I'm a bit disappointed. disappointed, not in President Trump, but in whoever was negotiating with the debate commission. I mean, this the moderator seems like she's more left than Savannah Guthrie. Video came out this weekend of her talking to one of Hillary Clinton's campaign people in 2016 and essentially telling her what questions they were going to ask during the debate.
There was a lot of that going around in 2016, you may recall. How about Donna Brazile directly feeding the questions to the CNN questions to Hillary Clinton?
I just don't understand why we couldn't get anyone better. I mean, I know it's slim pickings, but it just doesn't seem. She has pictures with President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. She's not on the
level.
And
her family, she comes from this uber wealthy family in Philadelphia, and they've contributed tens of thousands of dollars to Democrats, tens of thousands of dollars. And she, didn't she once ask President Trump a question? Are you a puppet of Putin? Yes or no? Yes or no? Just screaming the question out.
And Howie, I just want to say this, and I've said it before. It's not Joe Biden that drives me the most crazy, because it's like anything else. It's the people who enable this kind of behavior. And I really blame the press, the American media, for letting him. Even that question that Taylor played in the first hour with the milkshake. And then when they ask him about the FBI thing and he says he's not going to answer it, they laugh like they think he's funny, and they think it's funny that he's not answering their questions. Mm-hmm. And they're just so meek and pathetic. Like, nobody says, wait, we want an answer to this. It's just like the Supreme Court. In his mind, this is the elitism and the arrogance of Joe Biden. He truly doesn't think we deserve to know. We should just vote for him. And if you're black and you don't vote for him, then you ain't black. But that's just another, you know, part of it.
I think somebody just told him to use that line. I don't think he's very thoughtful about anything. And again, when he says, do you have a response to the New York Post stories? And he says, I have no response. That is a response.
Right.
You know, that is a response. You're not saying it's Russian disinformation. You're not saying it's made up. You're saying, I have no response. And that's basically a non-denial denial. It's a confirmation.
And he says it's a smear campaign. It's a smear campaign. But this is what the left does. When we have a story that people want to hear about, they say it's a conspiracy theory. It's right-wing talking points. My personal favorite. It's been debunked.
Right. And then another one is nobody cares. And then a day after nobody cares, they say, that's old news.
But I think what really separates this, Howie, and maybe I'm naive, but I do think, and I haven't been in journalism as long as you have, Howard, but part of me does think that pictures make a difference. And some of those pictures are so unsettling. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg as far as what's on the laptop goes. There's something about that family. It's not good. It's not good. And I think that's going to stick in people's minds. But another thing, Howie, I wanted to bring up, which I heard a lot from people this weekend, I always try to get the vibe, you know, read the tea leaves, see what's going on out there, what people think. And something that a few people brought up to me was, you remember a few months back, it was revealed that Obama had said to Joe, you don't have to do this. And the media tried to spin it as in, oh, he's looking out for him. You know, Joe Biden's older. It's becoming more and more clear. Obama knew all of this crap was going to hit the fan. And so he probably was thinking to himself, why are you doing this?
What's going on, Taylor?
President Trump holding his rally is talking about the Biden crime family.
Let's listen.
Anthony Weiner, you remember that? Ding, 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 ding. He got hacked too, just like Scully got hacked. Remember he said he got hacked. He was sending messages to very, very young women. Girls. He was sending messages, a lot of them. And he got hacked. They always say they got hacked. Scully got hacked, right? Scully. He was a never-Trumper. He got hacked. You know, I've never known a person that said he got hacked, that got hacked. Nobody gets hacked. To get hacked, you need somebody with 197 IQ, and he needs about 15% of your password, right? Doesn't happen. So Scully got hacked. And now on Thursday, I go up another real great one. Another great one. Kristen Welker. She's a radical Democrat. Look at them, they're getting angry. She's a radical Democrat. She deleted her entire account. Everything is deleted.
Yep.
But I've known her. She's been screaming questions at me for a long time. And she's no good. But I figure, what the hell? She asked you a question. How did I do the other night against one that was worse? She was worse, Savannah. So I had Savannah Guthrie the other night. She was like a crazed lunatic. She was literally rising out of her chair as she's screaming questions. And how about that great woman behind me? She kept going. I love her. I don't know too much. I met her right after. She's great. But I tell you, she was definitely a Trump person. They made a big mistake. You know, the mistake they made was they forgot to check the audience. The audience was great. And how about the woman that came up and said, I love your smile.
She's become a prop in these things. She mentions her every speech he makes. I watched some of them this weekend. But we can take a break now.
Howie, but can I first just, I want to let people know that a lot of people have been asking me how they sign up for the email contest. Go to HowieCarshow.com. The box will drop down. Enter your email. You will automatically be entered into our contest. And what you win is a Howie Carr prize box. So you win 3 t-shirts, 3 books, all sorts of goodies. And last Friday's winner, I did not announce, and that was my fault. So I want to announce her now. Kathleen Robbins will be winning the Howie Carr prize box. If you want to enter, go to HowieCarshow.com and just enter your email. And then on the e-blast, Howie, they'll get great stories like your story today about the aspiring rapper, your column, yep. Tweetbeat. There's a lot of content to go out.
An aspiring rapper. Try not to let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the hip-hop community. An aspiring rapper in L.A. was arrested late last week for stealing allegedly $1.2 million in COVID relief unemployment money.
Did his mother have a comment?
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
Oh, good, okay.
The feds got a tip on it. He posted a YouTube video bragging about how much money he was stealing and showing all of his cards, his debit cards that he had from the state of California. They decided to investigate, unlike with the laptop full of Hunter Biden material that was given to the FBI in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's a new thing with criminals, is that it's not so much they get caught by anything else except themselves. They go on, you know, Facebook or Instagram, and they post their crimes.
Yeah, it's one thing, you know, when they used to get the mafia guys that send in guys with wires that they trusted and that get them speaking after they had a few drinks. I mean, that's stupid enough. But I mean, to put something on YouTube bragging about stealing $1 million. That was a bad move by rapper Nuke Bizzle.
Nuke Bizzle, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah, he's not going to be making too many more rap videos.
I don't know, though. Maybe, you know, he might find a couple friends in
All
prison.
Right. Our listeners love the Thunderstorm air purifier. They've written in to Eden Pure with how much they love it, and I'm going to read you a couple of their responses. Lisa wrote directly to the company, "The Thunderstorm is everything Howie Carr claimed it would be. I have 3 dogs and 3 birds, but you wouldn't know it now." Christopher stated, "I couldn't believe the results in just 12 hours. I was so impressed I ordered 2 more."
Wow.
Have you been waiting to order the Thunderstorm air purifier because you weren't sure it was as good as I said it was? Don't wait. Eden Pure will continue their buy one, get one promotion for the Thunderstorm air purification system. Eden Pure has been able to do this due to the huge response and success from the Howie Carr Show listeners. The response has been tremendous, and Eden Pure is passing on their savings to the listeners. The Thunderstorm is a small device you can hold in your hand and plug into the wall to purify the air from any odor. It could be pet odor, kitchen smells, tobacco smells, or that damp smell you may have in your basement. Take advantage of the BOGO offer, buy one, get one. Offer now and experience yourself what all the listeners are raving about. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO. That's EdenPure.com, Howie BOGO. Shipping is free. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Raycon's newest wireless earbuds, the Everyday E25s, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, and a noise-isolating fit that really allows you to focus on what you're listening to. Get 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds at buyraycon.com/Howie. Buyraycon.com/Howie. I think that's going to be part of our Christmas gifts to most of our sponsors on the radio and all of our forums and platforms. So that's how much we love them. We love the things, don't we? Don't we, Grace?
I love, love, love my Raycons. And yeah, they're just great. And you know what I noticed, Howie? I forgot them when I went to Florida, which was a really bad mistake, because every day I go on my walk and I'd spend the first 20 minutes untangling my headphones. It's just, you put it really well. You look like a lame without your Raycons.
Yeah, you do. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will NBC's Kristen Welker bring up the Hunter Biden story during Thursday's debate?
Not unless she's absolutely forced to, and I can't imagine that. So I'm going to say no.
I would not only say she's not going to bring it up, I think she's going to shut Trump down if he dare bring it up and say, sir, we're not going to talk about that. It's been debunked.
This might be the debate where they mute the mics.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, apparently the Trump people are very concerned about that. Bill Stepien, the campaign manager, wrote a letter to the Commission on Presidential Debates today saying that they'd heard these reports that they're going to mute the candidates they don't like, i.e. Donald Trump. So we'll see. We're gonna have someone from the campaign to talk about this later on in the show.
98% say, nope, this story will not be brought up by Kristen Welker.
And you know what the real reason is, well, besides the fact they're all, you know, in the bag for Biden, but the other thing is they all are afraid of becoming the person who gets blamed if Trump wins, that they helped, you know, they asked the one question that turned around the events. They're all afraid of being like Jimmy Fallon. Do you remember he did that interview with Trump where he tousled his hair a little bit with his hand and they all started saying, Jimmy Fallon humanized Trump, you know, weeks before the election. Nobody wants to be the person who gets blamed for everything. So they're all coming at him incredibly hard.
Right. And you know, it may be my imagination, but doesn't it seem like Chris Wallace has been ubiquitous on Fox since that dreadful debate performance that he turned in? I mean, it's like even Fox is hedging their bets on whether or not there's going to be a new era come January, and they're going to have to make peace with these people who have no problem shutting down the First Amendment, as they've shown with the New York Post.
I just find it amazing that people who, you know, if I have a bad take on something, which it happens, everyone has bad takes that don't age well, I usually either offer a mea culpa or I take a beat before offering my next hot take. Chris Wallace goes from saying Steve Scully is a very, 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 you know, reputable man. And then right afterwards, he's like, I don't really believe this story about, you know, Hunter Biden because Rudy Giuliani is not a credible source. Credible source? You were backing Steve Scully 48 hours ago. Why don't you take a deep breath, Chuck?
Right. I know. And you know, this is the classic thing that the press has always complained about, the tendency of the public to blame the messenger, right? And so Chris Wallace, who's been a hack his entire life, is blaming Rudy Giuliani for
right.
being the messenger who gets this stuff. Why did Giuliani have to get it out? Why wasn't there any interest in the mainstream media about finding this? Why did the guy in Wilmington, Delaware, who had this stuff, why did he feel he couldn't call any reporters? He had to call a politician and a former mayor of New York to get the thing out.
Well, Howie, I always give this example, but I think it's very true. It reminds me of this situation. I used to watch the show Cheaters, and sometimes they'd catch the husband cheating, and a lot of the men would turn it around and say, why were you snooping through my phone? And in other words, it's your fault for finding out the info, not the info itself. What Hunter Biden and Joe Biden did is the problem. How it came to be shouldn't be the number one issue for these people, but that's all they care about is, well, why did he bring it to the laptop, man? As if that matters. It doesn't matter. No. There's pictures.
And how disgraceful is it? And how cynical are they to try to blame Russia again?
I know.
I mean, it's,
there's only so much they can do over there.
It's breathtaking.
You know, they can't be responsible for everything.
And if you go back to look at that interview with Adam Schiff with Wolf Blitzer, he's crying wolf to Wolf Blitzer. And he uses the word Kremlin about a million times. Does this make him some kind of Russian expert to use the word Kremlin over and over and over again? We'll be right back with Joe DiGenova to discuss the FBI's...
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Joining us now, as he does most Monday afternoons at this time, is Joe DiGenova, the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, and he is an acute observer of what's been going on with the deep state, Obamagate, and now we have Huntergate, which has just come up in the last week. We knew it was out there, but now we have this computer. And Joe, I just wanted to start off by asking you, how bad exactly was the FBI's performance in this latest Democrat scandal?
Very bad. And I think we can characterize this scandal as, what did the FBI not do, and when did they not do it? This is an appalling performance by the greatest investigative organization in the world, under the leadership of the worst FBI director in history, Christopher Wray. Now, what is happening now is that they had in their possession evidence which is clearly exculpatory, directly related to the impeachment of the President of the United States, and did not let anyone know that they had it. I do not know how Christopher Wray continues in his job after the election, no matter what the result. This is appalling performance. And what was done to investigate, secondarily, what is on those tapes? Apparently, nothing. So many, many questions, all legitimate. And today, as you know, John Ratcliffe said, this is not Russian disinformation, what is on that computer. And we know that the Biden family sought the computer back from the gentleman who owns the computer store, thus verifying its authenticity. So right. Here we go.
Right. I'm more appalled, though, by what happened. Apparently, the father of the owner of the computer shop, he's a Vietnam veteran, worked, flew gunships in Vietnam, is active in veterans organizations. I guess he lives out in New Mexico. He took the computer and laid it all out to agents who refused to identify themselves, by the way, in the Albuquerque office, and they just blew him right off. They just didn't pay any attention to it, like they did with the Parkland High School shooter when his aunt called to try to give him up to the FBI. They didn't even pass it on. And then when the whole Ukrainian impeachment hoax began, they went and they got a subpoena to pick up the computer. And then that was the last we've heard of it. Right. It was like they were picking it up to make it go away.
The problem with the performance of the FBI is that there's no end to either the incompetence or the duplicity. You do not take a piece of evidence like this and do nothing with it. Who was notified of its existence inside the FBI? Seems to me if it's the vice president's son's computer, everybody up the chain of command, including Christopher Wray, knows about it. What did they do with the information? Did they analyze the computer? Are there any spreadsheets from what they found out? We don't know that. The only information we're getting is from the people who got legal possession of it, Rudy Giuliani and his lawyer, Bob Costello. And now we're learning as a result of stories that are coming out based on the legitimate release of information from the hard drive. So I'm told that the stuff that has not been released, some of it is so horrific that there are decisions being made about how to deal with it. It involves criminal activity, and it's going to require, I think, some discussion among a lot of people about how to release it.
Now, one of the points that's been made by some of the internet observers, if not in the mainstream media, is that the subpoena for the laptop actually was signed by one of the FBI's leading experts on child pornography. a guy who's right. been cited in many newspapers and media stories as being the FBI's guy when it comes to this horrible topic. But he's also stationed in Wilmington, apparently. So did he just sign it as a pro forma being the agent most senior? Or do you think this is a child pornography issue? I'm asking you the same question that Maria asked Senator Ron Johnson.
Well, I don't think this is an accidental assignment because, first of all, this is the computer of the vice president of the United States, the former vice president at the time that it is turned over. So this is a fairly serious matter. Something must have been known about its contents because the man who owned it went to the FBI and told them about it and the things that were on it. So they issued the subpoena after he had spoken with them, which means it was a conscious decision to choose the FBI agent who had that expertise.
Mm. So Rudy Giuliani said last week that he had probably convicted 100 guys of federal crimes with less evidence that he had seen on that computer. Do you agree?
I do. I agree wholeheartedly. I have to, as a full disclosure, Victoria Tunsing, my wife, and I were working with Rudy on this issue. I'm from Delaware. I have a lot of contacts in Delaware in law enforcement, and so we were assisting Rudy in deciding what to do and how to do it. So just full disclosure, I'm actually involved in the matter.
So have you seen these videotapes?
No, I have not, but I've had them described to me.
And does it involve crimes against children?
I will only say this. The decision about how to release them is one of the most delicate decisions anybody's going to have to make in this thing. And so, you know, I will only say there is criminal activity on the computer in many forms.
I'm losing my feed. I can't hear Joe. Do we still have him with us?
I'm here.
I'm not hearing anything. See if you can turn it up. We're talking to Joe DiGenova, the former U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, and I'm asking him how much he's seen here. But I'm having a problem with my headphones.
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, I got it now. I don't know what happened there, Joe. But so,
no,
Joe,
okay.
When they talk about getting this stuff out, I mean, some goes to the New York Post one day, some goes to one of the conservative cable networks. Is that how they're doling it out, or how's this going to be handled? I mean, there's only 2 weeks left.
Well, I'm not involved in the giving out of the information. I was involved in Victoria was mostly involved in the evaluation process. This is basically her responsibility. But let me just say, we're not involved in divvying out the information. But Rudy's fairly smart guy, and they're doing what they can do to get it out. Obviously, now that Twitter has shut down the New York Post Twitter thing, it makes it more difficult to get a wider play. But here's the thing that kind of confuses me. I like the people at the New York Post. I mean, I read it and I read their columnists. I can't figure out why the New York Post hasn't sued Twitter. This is a newspaper that's being censored on a public platform that has the responsibility to act under the statute in good faith under Section 230. There is no way that they should be censoring this. And I do not understand why the New York Post is not suing to get an injunction. I just don't understand it. This has nothing to do with material that is offensive. This is very important public information that has extremely important value in the middle of a campaign. And therefore, it's pretty clear that Twitter is acting in bad faith, not in good faith, as Section 230 requires. I think the Post has a phenomenal lawsuit to get an injunction to be put back up on Twitter.
I used to work for Rupert Murdoch, and I know that he plays the long game, Joe, as you know. And don't you think he's just hedging his bets a little bit in case the Democrats do come to power? I mean, they've made it pretty clear that there's nothing that they're not willing to do to stifle any kind of opposition.
Well, you're either in the news business or you're not. And my view is this is one of the biggest stories ever. Let's remember what's at stake here. This is evidence that the Vice President of the United States, both while he was a senator and while he was Vice President and after Vice President, was involved in a comprehensive shakedown scheme, pay to play, with his family, where they would get money for access to him and he would get a cut of the money. That is bribery. That is extortion. That is a violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. You name it. Conspiracy, mail fraud, wire fraud. This is so criminal in its nature that it's not even close. And the notion that newspapers don't want to touch this, again, Howie, we don't have journalism anymore. These people are hacks.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, even though I'm still in the newspaper business. How about the fact that some of these organizations are going out there and saying that this is being investigated by the FBI as Russian disinformation? I mean, talk about disinformation. They're disinforming the American people about disinformation, aren't they?
Well, that's false. It's not being investigated as disinformation. John Ratcliffe said that's not true. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. So let's assume for the sake of argument that somebody in the FBI leaked that.
You're right.
That may be to cover their fanny, but it isn't true. That's not what's being investigated. The question is, what are they investigating, if anything, at the FBI? And apparently, up until now, the answer is nothing.
Yeah, because we haven't heard about any subpoenas or target letters or subject letters, none of the usual things that you do when you're closing in on a group of conspirators, right? Nothing has been done.
It looks like the vice president and his family got special treatment from the FBI in Delaware. Now, the U.S. attorney in Delaware is a guy who's been in the office many, many times. He's kind of a lifer. And it's unclear to me what his role is. But if you're the U.S. attorney, like I was, and something like this comes in, you know about it, believe me. And that's a very small state. Delaware is like a closet. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's private life. There are no secrets in Delaware. So this issue, and of course, everybody knew that Hunter had a drug problem and a hooker problem and a brothel problem. Just imagine this. How many CIA assets were used to travel behind Hunter when he was overseas, to shadow him, to make sure that he didn't get killed in a brothel or killed in a crack house or a drug den overseas? What assets of the federal government were deployed to protect him when he was the vice president's son, traveling either with his father overseas or on his own overseas, which he did also? So the story is bigger than just Hunter himself. It just radiates out from him, and it all ends up with the vice president. Clearly, the vice president lied. He said, "I never discussed my son's business with him." Well, that's a crock. Everybody knows that now, but you don't hear the press saying anything. "Mr. Vice President, why did you lie to us?" Because they're doing everything they can to cover for him. But just think about the extortion and the blackmail of the Biden family from all the activity that he was engaged in, and the blackmail of the vice president. This is stunning. There's never been anything like this.
This is exactly
what they are alleging Donald Trump was going to be subject
to. We've all seen what they do to a politician or a gangster that they want to take down. The money trail is pretty easy to follow now, and you have Hunter on record as saying he had to kick up 50% of everything that he collected in his assorted alleged rackets to the big guy, to Pop.
They can find this in a New York Minute, bank records, financial records, investment records. But listen, if you get that kind of money, it has to be put in banks. And believe me, there are plenty of banks and credit card companies in Delaware that Joe Biden has helped for 40 years. You know, they repealed all of their usury laws in Delaware, so that's why all the credit card companies went there, so they could charge 18, 20, and 25% right. on their credit card.
Hunter got a job out of there, out of law school. He was hired by one of those big banks that was benefiting yes. from Joe's machinations in the U.S. Senate, you know?
Oh, that is absolutely correct.
Yeah. Joe, we gotta stop, but I appreciate you being with us, and thank you again. And
sure.
I hope something's going to come of this, Joe. I certainly do. Thank you, Joe DeGeneva. If you haven't watched Bill O'Reilly's money message by going to HowieCarshow.com and clicking on the Bill O'Reilly banner, then do it today. One network refused to run it because of its, quote, conservative nature, unquote. That's outrageous. So we are doing all we can to get the message out to you. It's important now more than ever to look at where your money is and not put your head in the sand. Bill O'Reilly is calling Oxford Club chief investment strategist Alexander Green one of the nation's top financial minds. They square off in this controversial money message. Go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. See O'Reilly and Green as they discuss why nearly 2,000 Americans are becoming millionaires daily, and how you can dramatically increase your wealth too. Through a special discount offer, you'll also receive a copy of O'Reilly's United States of Trump best-selling book. Supplies are limited and disappearing fast, so act today, HowieCarshow.com, and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. Start feeling secure about your life savings and investments today, HowieCarshow.com, and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kemp, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
203 asks a question. If the FBI issued a subpoena, why don't they have the computer now? They do have the computer now. What Rudy Giuliani in the New York Post and other media outlets have now is copies of it. The computer repair man, he just sat on it for a while, and he called Hunter and, you know, emailed him and said, can you pay me the $85 and come and pick it up? And he never heard back from him. And then this whole Ukrainian hoax began, and he looked up he decided to go into the records he'd made. He'd copied everything off the hard drive, and he did a word search. This is from the New York Post. He did a word search for Burisma on Hunter's laptop. Bingo. 4 months later, the impeachment's big news, so he decides to contact the FBI via a friend in case the material on the laptop is useful. And then his father does it first, according to other sources. But on December 9th, two FBI agents take away the laptop and the hard drive. December 9th. When was the impeachment? The trial was in 2 months later, right? And nobody at the FBI bothered to tell the president that there was this exculpatory evidence about these shakedowns, which Joe Biden had already bragged about on videotape, which he already had. This was more corroborating evidence on top of that video in front of the Council on Foreign Relations. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Howie, not one tweet from the African-American community about how the crime bill that Joe Biden put into place got all these black people in jail for using crack, but his son got to run around the globe with the FBI and security.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. That is really a good point, Matt. You know, they always said that they increased the penalties on crack because more black people than white people use crack. But in this case, this is Hunter Biden using crack, and he's getting a total pass. He's never, other than losing his military position in the Navy, he never paid any price whatsoever, did he?
He didn't. And Biden's campaign line has been, we want to put the people on Park Street in jail or give them the same crime that somebody in the Main Street was getting.
Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. I hadn't even thought about that. But yeah, you're right. There was great outcry 25 years ago when this bill was passed because the penalties for crack were so much more severe than the penalties for traditional powder cocaine. I'm Howie Carr.